recorded live.
Welcome, welcome, welcome. Ryan, you know, I want to start singing that song. It's okay, it's okay.
That's my song. Yeah. That's the
what song is that anyway? I heard that one time before while I was at work. I said, that's Rodney's song. I didn't think it was good.
It's Uptown by Drake.
Uptown by Drake, yeah, yeah, yeah. I might need to get me some theme music because that one's kind of like embedded.
Yeah.
How we doing tonight? Everybody good?
Everybody's great.
Everybody's great.
Welcome again to another Tuesday night, 9 p.m. Married Men Don't Talk Talk Show. Tonight's topic. Restraint. Only rules. Let me see. No profanity. I guess that's it. I guess we'll try that for tonight. I want to ask one question. Is this a true statement or a false statement? In marriage, you have to pick and choose your battles. True or false?
True.
True.
Anybody else? The eyes have it.
What's the question again?
In marriage, let me flip it around. In marriage, is it wise to pick and choose your battles?
Pick and choose your battles?
Pick and choose your battles, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, okay. But in doing that, aren't we leaving some other issues unresolved?
Depends on what you're about to try to, what was the battle about?
It could be about anything. It could be about, okay, you know, I'm not going to argue with her about this because I know how makes her feel, makes her react. So let me just not argue about that.
But yeah, like my wife hates when I put trash that's too large in the bathroom garbage can. So instead of me arguing with her, I just choose not to and change the subject. I still put what I want in there.
Okay. I mean, I really believe that, and I thought that too, that it was definitely something that you should consider to pick and choose your own battles, but and call it cat. Yes, number four said pick and choose, then revisit if you remember. That's funny. Yeah. But
ain't no way.
No way. What?
You know, my rule is, you out of the 10 arguments, two of them are marriage breakers, and them the ones I'm picking. I ain't gonna pick your argument with you. I'll let you win every argument, but there's gonna be two of them. I'm putting my foot down, and that's, it is what it is, and that's what I. Cause somebody used to say because I said so.
Somebody used to say that, yeah, I remember.
Yeah. You know, you gotta pick them, or you be getting nagged all the time. You be in an argument all the time.
Well, what about the things that you don't argue about? What about the things you let slide under the rug? You just keep that with you?
Yeah, you gotta hold out.
But some things that you hold will eat out, fester, turn into cancer, and then by the time it finally comes out, it's huge. Does that make sense?
Yeah, but you gotta pick them when you're going to actually speak on that. I mean, you can speak on it, but you want to speak on it in a way that that's not going to harm or affect you, you know, affect the relationship. You want to bring that up when you're not in an argument. Say, hey, I just got some things to say. I want you to just listen and hear me out instead of just in the middle of an argument, y'all going at it toe-to-toe.
Oh, okay. So you said...
Because women don't like losing. I mean, we don't like losing. We have to give in. But they're going to bring up something in the middle of an argument if you don't do it that way. That's going to just so they can get you irritated. Just like whoever said on Guess 4 said, bring up the past.
Okay. I get that. But... Well, I guess what I'm trying to say, and maybe I'm trying to drive a certain point home, that there's still things that are going to be unresolved, I believe. And I know that the heat of the moment, sometimes you don't have to pick up certain things. You don't have to bring up certain things. You can just let it slide. But there's still something that you may have. Like, let's just say if we were talking about intimacy, and that you're having an issue with intimacy with your spouse, okay? But you don't know when it's the right time to bring that up. You don't know when it's the appropriate time. So you pick and choose that battle. You say, okay, yeah, I'm going to try to get it in after dinner. Or I'm going to try to talk about it through a text message. Or I'm going to try to talk about it this way. But you know it may cause a negative reaction. So then you choose not to talk about it, but then the issue is still there. Make any sense?
Yeah, me and my wife was having a big problem with this a couple of weeks ago. And she's reading the Joel Osteen book, Be a Better You. And he talked about how to talk to one another. And so we started taking the rules from that book. And, yeah, everything's cool now. Except for the two large trash in the bathroom garbage can.
Yeah. Can you share any tips that...
Basically... I know there was one topic, you know, there's a couple of topics that are high contention points for my wife, me and my wife. And anytime we try to talk about it, it ends up in a big argument. But these are topics that are very important. It has to be discussed as a married couple. And so our approach is I have to say 5 positive things about her. Then I have to also acknowledge something negative that I do about this subject. And then once I do that, then I can let her know what she's doing that I don't like.
Yeah.
Instead of just going straight for the jugular, you know what I'm saying?
I'm saying, but is she going to say 5 positive things about you?
She has to, yeah. She has to say 5 positive things about me. Then she also has to say something negative about herself. And then she can come back, right back with a retaliation. And usually once... Like, I initiate it, and I do it. Then when it's her turn, usually it doesn't even get to that point.
Okay. Well,
and we're able to discuss it in a more civil manner, you know. It works, basically.
I mean, it sounds like pretty good restraint, I would say. Yeah, that's good. Yeah, maybe we want to get that. Well, anyway, and I'll tell you my story. I think I already told Rodney. And maybe I was wrong, maybe I wasn't, but it goes back along the lines of having restraint and picking and choosing your battles. I was out with my wife last week, and we were going to the supermarket to get some dinner. She was driving, and it was raining. I didn't have an umbrella. She parked next to a car, and I thought she parked a little close. Anytime people still sitting in the car look at you, you know, it means you might be a little close. So I asked her, can you back up and just give me a little bit more room? Right. She's like, nah, I'm not backing up. You know, so I was like, okay, no problem. So I got out, we went in the store. And then I said, everything doesn't have to be a discussion. Only thing I asked was, can you back up, give me a little bit more room, and you refused to do it. So then she went on and said, yeah, you always criticize my driving and this and that. Started talking about things that I did 5, 6, 7 years ago. And I didn't understand why it got that heated, but it really got heated, so I was like, I don't even want to buy no food, just take me back home. But anyway, make a long story short, I got in the car and I just went off. I had no restraint. I was just going off because to me it was like I asked you to do one thing and now I'm the bad guy. I wanted to try to show some restraint, but I guess I failed. Maybe that was my test, but I know I didn't pass it. But should I have done something differently? Or was I just out of my mind? Anybody?
Well, I don't think you told the whole story.
Well, tell her. I mean, yeah. Go ahead then.
I mean, the part you left out was, you know, she remarked that you always comment on her driving.
Yeah, yeah.
So,
but that came out after the fact. All I asked was for a little room. Like I said, I didn't have an umbrella, so you all know what it's like trying to cram in between a car while you're getting rained on, and then you're trying to make your move through the rain.
And I know what it's like to ride with somebody who always complains about my driving, especially when I park.
Uh-oh.
Yeah.
See, I think you're getting something
somewhere.
Right there.
Yeah, but that's okay, though. Now. But look, that's okay. That's why I put it all on the table. And if I overreacted, that's fine. I can live with that. I can say, you know, I can apologize, whatever the case, but if you ask something minor, and to me I thought that was minor, can I get a little bit more room so I can get out? Because we ride up on the people.
Yeah.
And it's raining.
And it's great.
But you didn't have the liberty. You didn't have the liberty to make that statement, unfortunately.
Okay. There you go.
Well,
talk about it.
No, just like the brother said, you know, it's, he said that he gets mad when people complain about his driving and how he parks. So that's obviously how your wife didn't feel that one sole incident, you know, that you were just like, yo, you know, can you move over a little bit? She was just, you know, replaying all the other instances in her mind about you remarking or complaining or commenting on her driving in her park. That's where that was rooted in. It wasn't in the little courteous, like, yo, it's raining, honey. I ain't got a lot of space. Can you, you know. That's easy, but like I said, it went all the way back to the other comments, and it was kind of like a snowball effect, you know, if I may.
So it may be the root of certain person leaving some issues unresolved, and then that just brought it to a head.
I agree with you. I don't want to chime in for a minute. I agree with you, what you said, because restraint, when you restrain, then you allow that sort of power. So your wife, she felt that a long time ago. So she was restrained. So when the opportunity came, it came to a boiling point. So when you said that, it just like, this is what you do all the time. So I think restraint is good, but then it's like a double-edged sword. Because I think if you don't deal with the situation at that time, it's a way you address it, because it's just going to fester, just like that happened. See, that happened. She went back 7 years ago. So she had restraint, you know what I mean? So when it come, it came to a boiling point. So I sometimes restraint is, like you said at one point, somebody said, you got to pick and choose your battles, but when do you know? You didn't think that was a battle. You just said,
no.
Move over a little bit so I can get out the rain.
I just need a little space.
But because she felt that all the time. See, sometimes when you restrain, like you want to address a situation and you suppress those feelings, sometimes if you suppress them for a long time, you can develop some sort of resentment. You know, when it comes out, it don't come out the way you didn't think that called for that. But she had those feelings all the time, that every time I drive, he always say something. You know, he's playing this tape in her head. So yeah, it came to a point where she kept suppressing it, kept suppressing it. Then it was a rainy day. It was like all the elements was against you at that time. It was, you got to go to the supermarket. It's raining. She probably didn't want to be out in the rain. And you parked close. And she didn't realize the fact that it mattered that you see somebody looking at you like, I hope he'll open his door and hit my door. See, I know. I'm a driver all the time, so I know where you're coming from. She ain't see that part.
She ain't see that part. She looked over like the deer in the headlight.
Just went straight off.
Yeah.
And you, behind every action, there's a reaction.
Yeah.
So therefore, you reacted to the fact that you felt in your heart, where did this come from? Now you trying to play in your head that this been, she got some, she had this feeling all the time. Now you angry because you felt as though if you felt this hostile about it, you should have brought it to my attention a long time ago.
Good words.
As good words, but it's the truth. And that's what took me over the
every day. I just had a situation, talk about restraint, just a few minutes ago. I to my son. And where I'm at, the satellite's out. So we watching little recorded on the DVR thing. So I'm trying to find him a movie to watch. So in the process, this big blue thing came across in the process where I wound up deleting one of the movies. Well, lo and behold, you done thought I had tore the television up. Well, if it was something you was, I said, but it was a mistake, you know, a movie, you know, it's going to come back on television. I mean, he got a whole list that we could choose or something else.
Yeah.
But if I didn't do that, the next time she would have done something, then that's when it would have blew out. But I tried to address it. I didn't have it that easy because I reacted. Like, why is you making a federal case? And I felt myself going into an argument mode. So I had to back off and use a little restraint. But I guess you understand where I'm coming from. I know when she come back.
For sure. Yeah, that's the words. I mean, and And I understand. I understand. And just like you said, man, you couldn't have said it any better. It took me to another level because I'm like, where's all this coming from?
Exactly.
I had one little thing, and now I'm getting blasted.
Exactly.
Can I offer a little different perspective on it?
Sure, for sure.
Because me and my wife, you know, I drove home. You know, I always drive to D.C. and from D.C. We both drive in together. And, you know, my wife was making little comments today about my driving. When we got home, I said, look, you can't do that no more. And she's like, okay, well, I'll do better. I said, all right, cool. Listen, man. She's driving in the rain, and all of that's going on. The stress of driving is going on, and she gets you to the store or wherever y'all going, and you say something about the parking. And to her, that's nitpicking. But the issue is y'all both have different perspectives on the situation. And that's a problem with men and women. We both have different perspectives on things. And so your perspective is, yo, I want to hit this dude's car. This person is looking at me. Her perspective is, I done drove in this rain. I done got him here, and he nitpicking on the parking. Maybe if you try that little deal that I was telling you about with Joel Osteen, maybe that'll work. You know, maybe if you come at her with five things when she drive, how well she do, five things she do well while driving, and then admit one of your faults that you have when you drive, and then maybe how that comes. And I know it's time-consuming because you're right there, you're trying to get out the car, but it's trying to just take the claws out the dragon, man.
So you're talking about on-demand restraint.
Exactly, exactly. And you know, sometimes when I, you know, now that I find myself and I do it, and then those few times when I don't show that restraint, when I just come right and I say, listen, you can't do that no more, she's more receptive to it. Instead of it being just a knockdown battle, you know what I'm saying? Because
sure.
I've shown that restraint in the past. And so I've shown her that, hey, I know I got some issues too, and I do appreciate some things you do well, but at the same time, this is something I would like for you to change. And she's more receptive to that.
Well, let me stop you there, brother, because
go ahead.
I don't know if you said the compliment, if he was to compliment her five times, would she receive that as a genuine compliment if he's, and that, now this is from the past, like the brother said, you know, all these years, she's been exercising restraint and not telling him to be quiet about, you know, being critical of her driving. You know, so if he flipped the script and turned it around and started saying, wow, that was a nice left turn, honey. You put on your signal and everything. I mean, would she really receive that, or would she be like,
now to answer
you,
that?
Yeah.
Typically, no. But I've done the experiment and research with my wife. The moment I point out what I do wrong when I drive, like if I'm complaining about my wife driving, and I give her the five things that she does while driving it up, you know, I appreciate. And the moment she's looking at me like, yeah, right. And then the moment I point out something that I do wrong, that softens that.
Yeah.
It shocks me. Oh, wow. So he's actually admitting that he's not perfect.
Yeah, yeah. So he's agreeing to, he's co-signing something that she's already been nagging about. He's just saying, hey, I understand what you're saying right now.
Well, I think that in my particular case, I am at fault. And just talking about it now, and that's the dynamic of this call. That's kind of good because I'm realizing that maybe I was wrong, and maybe I did overreact. Maybe I didn't respond well enough. And I'll just give you a little history lesson about us. Our first date, we went to lunch. It wasn't even a date. I was trying to get with her. And we went to lunch. And I parked my car. We were in Virginia, downtown Virginia, where you got a parallel park. I parked my car. And then, because she was driving her car. And then I came to meet her, and she was sitting in her car still. And I was like, what's going on? She was like, I really don't know how to parallel park. So I said, no problem. I said, you go ahead and get out, and I'll park your car. You know, now then it wasn't an issue because I was trying to get in. So anything was, yeah, I don't care if you don't know how to drive, I'll drive it for you. You know, at the beginning. You know, so I knew that coming in, and for me to to take it there maybe was wrong. So maybe I did overreact.
You know what? If you say that to her, and you just like you said it to us,
mm-hmm.
I promise you she'll probably say, you know what, I probably overreacted also.
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah. Yeah.
She might get that one to you. I'm 70% certain she'll get that one to you.
Yeah,
I agree with that.
Agree with that too. I think she would too. If you come just like that,
yeah,
and then she'll see that you put some thought into it. Like that bothered you that you even came off like that because you revisited the situation,
mm-hmm.
back at it, and you put some thought into it.
Sure.
Cause you went back for the first time, and then that is, I don't know. You might
get
be all right that night.
Yeah.
I mean, did you apologize? Did you ever apologize for overreacting?
We talked about it. Well. See. Some other things came out, you know. And,
of course, at that point, I've been there.
Yeah.
So ain't no apology coming.
Well, I'm not going to say that, and I think that I will apologize for my part in it. I will, because I did get out. She didn't move the car. I did get out, and I went into the store. So it wasn't like I broke my leg. It wasn't like, you know, something tragic happened. I got out. I got a little wet, but I was going to get wet anyway. I didn't have an umbrella. You know, so I will definitely establish that. But up to this point, I was looking for an apology. Because I'm like, I asked you to do one thing, just one small. To me, it's one small thing. Let me get a little bit more room. You didn't get it. You blew up at me. And you didn't, you know what I'm saying? You saw how it upset me. And you never came back and said apologize. But that's fine. So me being the man, I'm going to go ahead and start the apology train, and maybe she might reciprocate, maybe she might not. I don't know.
She will.
I think she will. If you said, just like you said, you can start it off with a apology, and then you can say, I've been thinking, and then you can give her that speech. You be all right. You be all
right. Yeah.
Sorry.
Y'all be doing that special hug before you know it.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Honey, you know, I've been really thinking about how I blew up at you the other day, and I'm just really sorry. I'm just really a jerk. I mean how can she not respond to that with, yeah, you are a jerk, and I forgive you, you know?
Yeah. But is that what they're looking for from us? Is that what they're really looking for? Is that what they really respect from a man, for us to always just be like Mr. Nice Guy, even if we're pissed off?
You know what?
Nine times out of ten, most women don't even know what they want.
Yeah,
say that.
You got to kind of like lead them.
Yeah, but a woman don't always want a sorry man either. Every time he do something, I'm sorry, baby, I'm sorry.
You don't want the crown to apologize.
Don't want all the time. They still want you to be a man. You still, you know, still a man. You know what I mean? But you, like you said, when you got to apologize, you want to come when it's a serious matter to apologize. But things that you strongly believe in, I believe that that's when this is what it is. You suck wind and you get over it and keep it moving. That's when you're man. But that little petty little stuff, you know, at some point you got to be beyond that. That's going to come and go. Some of that stuff you can't even worry about. You know, that ain't even worth even talking about. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because that y'all will be arguing all day long. You know what I mean? Y'all will be arguing all day long if it's something that's minute, because they going to find something. That's the problem where men just say, if it was just for, you know, you love them, but for real, you know, because they going to find something. If it ain't that, you said the trash too, because you put the trash too high. Who in the world look at the trash can like, you know what I mean? It'll be they'll find something else. Like
you heard me say, I still put what I want in that trash can.
And that's exactly, and I heard that too. That's my point. And it ain't even no more argument, because it's going to go tit for tat, because you know ain't nothing going to change. She going to think something going to change. So what's the point?
Right.
I mean, what's the point? You might as well keep it moving. All right, I hear you, baby. Till the next time. I hear you, baby. Till the next time when you do come at her on restraint, then that's when you got serious issues. You got to find restraint, because sometimes you it's a serious situation. She on one page, you on another page. So that's when it escalates. But that other stuff, man, you just got to take that on the chin, because every 5 minutes you're going to say, I'm sorry. As soon as one day she look good, you like, man, I want to see, you know what I mean? I'm sorry.
I'm sorry. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't have no weight because you do it so often. You know what I mean? So you do it, and she do say, "Damn, this nigga apologize." Oh, he be for real. You know what I mean? Cause she and she still having that respect for you. You know what I mean? As long as you keep things in this proper perspective, because they can't argue with themselves. And all they, like you say, all you need to say one thing wrong. You ain't got to raise your voice. You ain't got to, if you don't cross them T's and dot them I's when you do say something, that's a fight. So you do better. All right, baby, I hear you. My bad. To the next.
Okay. Yeah. I like that. I like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I like
what
that.
What about, have y'all ever been in a situation where, you know, maybe you, like in that situation with the car, maybe he realized before he hit the door to the store, you know, and maybe, you know, he came back right back and said, you know, what I just said earlier about, you know what, honey, I'm really sorry for blowing up at you. Have y'all ever had
well,
a situation?
Well, no, I didn't. No,
yeah,
I
know you didn't, but let's just imagine that you did. Have y'all ever had the situation where she is not ready to receive your apology?
Oh, plenty of times.
You know, she. I'm mad at you now. I want to stay mad at you for, you know, a couple of hours or a couple of days. So no, I'm not accepting your genuine apology.
Oh, plenty of times. Sometimes you gotta let them cool off. I mean, if you really mess up, yeah, you gotta let them blow off because they're emotional. I can't run up in there with that Joel Osteen stuff all the time. Oh. You know what I'm saying? I can't run up in there with, like, you know, here's five things you do very well, baby. No. Sometimes it's just best to go and be that sorry dude and go on in the basement, put on the NBA or whatever.
Talk a little bit of household stress, you know.
And take the zero for the night.
Yeah, take that L, like I already know.
Yeah,
it ain't going to end well for me. Let me just go on and keep my stress level down.
Exactly.
Both of us being there.
Yeah, but Mr. Hose, I got a monkey wrench. I know it's kind of early.
Do it.
But what about, you know, we're talking about restraint tonight. What about exercising restraint when, you know, Tracy just throwing the booty at you at work or, you know, it's a flame. I mean,
That's early. Look, it's too early.
Is that too early?
You already know I got it. You already know I got it down. You already know it's in my notes.
I didn't know. You know, I know these guys.
I got, look. I just had a question, though. And we're going to get to that. Believe me, we're going to get all up in that one. All
right.
But who makes us madder than our spouse? Who can take us to that level? Who has the power to take us to that level other than our spouse and our children?
A parent.
My boys.
Your boys
my
can
boys.
Make you better than your spouse can?
I don't know about that.
Boys, when the Ravens lost the AFC championship, I swear to God, when they was lost against New England this year. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was pretty hot.
Yeah, but they can't hurt your manhood.
No, they hurt my man, no.
Your wife.
I say your spouse.
Yeah.
Your spouse.
Say your spouse.
She can dig that hole deep and stand.
But see, she knows things about you that the people see on the surface don't know. So she can hit to the core. And she, when they come, sometimes they could come to the core. When you don't think they thinking about stuff, you be like, well, did they catch that? Oh, they caught it. And when they come at you, they can come at you. And that's why it makes you feel less than the man. Not less than the man. That's why it hurts you and bothers you and angers you more than anybody.
Anybody
else, like, you know, I can really care less.
I could care less.
But that's why I said a parent can do the same thing, because they know all that stuff about you, too.
Yeah, your parent can, too. Yeah.
If you let your mom can get you. Mine tried to get me. I just wasn't having it.
Yeah.
But they might use a little bit more courtesy. I'm thinking the parents might.
Right.
When that woman is mad, that scorned woman, and that's your wife, and you out in public, she can hurt you to the core. She can make you want to kill, shoot up everything in the restaurant. You know what I mean? Listen. Nobody on this phone is for abuse. I know that.
Listen.
But sometimes we hear the story and we're like, man, he shouldn't have done that. But I understand. I mean,
yeah.
He shouldn't have done that. You know what I mean? It's horrible.
Oh,
why
yeah.
hit that woman? But you understand sometimes they take you to a place where you don't like being because you can't control that person.
I have to laugh because sometimes when me and my wife travel, I know we're going to travel, so we just came back. And before I left that door, the first thing I said, "I'm going to that." You know what I mean? We're not even going to go there because sometimes they could get you somewhere and take you, and they get you right in a spot where they don't think you're going to address the situation. You know, they put you in, like, awkward positions sometimes.
Yeah.
Like, where your manhood is really, like, how do you respond to this? Or how do you address it? And you're boiling. So I try to nip it in the bud. I say, listen, we're going to have a nice time. We ain't going for no foolishness. You know what I mean? Because, see, they can get the eye rolling and the cutting the eyes as soon as you say something. You know, the eyeballs go clean to the left like you ain't see it. And everybody else that saw it, you know what I mean? So,
That's true.
They ain't going through that route.
Look,
I can believe it, man. You know, there's times.
You know what most people do. We creatures of habit. That's a hard thing to, you know. I tell you, restraint is one of the most difficult thing in the world. And I think what I had to learn to do, and this would help me a lot. I used to have to read the book of Job a lot. Restraint come patience. And if you don't have no patience, you don't have no restraint. You know what I mean? Because if you ain't got no patience, most people that don't have patience react before without thinking. You know, they act on empty. You know what I mean? So that's hard to say you got restraint if you don't have no patience. Yeah. See, that takes patience to have restraints. Because you believe me, just like you said, you got many obstacles. We're not just going to talk about our spouses. You sat there and said about the other part, like if you had that girl, that takes restraints.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That takes restraint on that level. Then you got the mental level. You got the physical restraint. Then you got the mental strength when you come to your wife because they play mind games like I don't know what.
Yeah.
You got to have a level of patience enough to process a situation and then react on it. That's where the restraint comes. Because you can't say you have restraint when just like, you know, boom, right off the bat if you ain't got no patience. Because if you ain't patient, soon as something ticks you off, boom, you quick to go. You like locked and loaded. But when you got patience, you notice anybody that you know that have patience have a lot of restraint. And then that comes with being humble. That comes with a lot of things. See, restraint comes in a long way, so I think you got to have patience. That's why I read the book of Job, to develop some patience so I'll be able to have some restraint.
And I'm going to step out on a limb, and I'm going to say that the people that are guilty of abuse, spouse abuse, could not separate the dude on the basketball court that gave you lip versus your wife that gave you lip. You see what I'm saying? The dude on the job that gave you, you know what I'm saying, that bucked at you for the wrong at the wrong time versus your wife that bucked at you for the wrong time.
Right.
That guy didn't know the difference. He said, well, I'm swinging. You buck, I'm swinging.
Right.
You see what I'm saying?
You got to remember.
Yeah, go ahead.
You got to remember. A man has a threshold.
Yeah.
And see, your wife knows that threshold. And she knows that she can go a step forward and ain't nothing gonna happen.
Yeah.
Where another man hits that threshold and then you sick of talking. You ready to ask for some other things to start talking.
For sure.
That's them 10 knuckles.
That's the thing.
You know what? I'm blessed to have married a woman who understands my line and she dare not cross it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, she stays away from it.
Right.
But look,
she is close.
Don't say she won't cross it, though.
Yes.
Man.
Don't say she won't cross it. I'm telling you.
Man.
She just ain't crossed it yet. I'm not saying she's going to, but don't say she won't cross it.
Yeah.
Because they know it's there.
No, that last week was nothing. No, I'm talking about crossing that line right now where it's like, okay.
Yeah, that. Hold on, I got to leave this house for a minute. I got to walk down the block in my bare feet because I'm gonna kill somebody. I need to go and think this thing over.
Uh-uh.
You know what I mean? But they can take us to that point.
Yeah.
So in dealing with that, I mean, that's a different kind of restraint.
Yeah, exactly.
You see what I'm saying? That's a different kind of restraint. A restraint that you don't really need. That kind of restraint that you have to exercise in the street because it'll get you locked up. Then you come home, and it's the same thing, but somebody's got more power than the dude in the street.
Uh-huh.
Because she can step on your soul to the point where you're like, oh, I can't believe she just took it there. Right in front of my boy. She just right in front of my boy. I can't believe she did.
Yeah, I mean, but, you know, then the smart man, I mean, we talked about it on the call. Then the smart man says, you know what? I'm going to step outside and get some man. But then sometimes you can't step away.
Sometimes you can't step away.
Yeah, see, that's one of the lines my wife knows. She knows that if I need to leave, she doesn't get in my way. She doesn't do all that head mushing and pushing and standing in front of the door. Because then she's
calling you not a man and everything. You ain't no man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But see, and all that, that's domestic violence, man. Because when they get the mushing on your head, that's one step. Because I don't believe in hitting a woman. I really don't. But when a woman step up to you like a man and doing all that, man, you got to have patience because your man is really tested. Because, see, when they start putting their hands on you and mushing you, my wife don't get in my way. She know. When I'm going to the door, I'm going to the door. It's better that.
Mine the same way. It's best just let me go on outside. Never know where I'm going to go.
That's all, but it's better that way. Long as she does have a very good sense of judgment, you know what I mean? Where so I'd rather for him to go ahead on outside and do what he need to do before I stand in the way. Because we both going to be miserable. She ain't going to get no sleep. I ain't going to get no sleep.
And mine knows that, and she does not cross that line.
Yeah. Anybody ever get carried in front of your kids by your wife?
Oh, man, all the time.
Don't that take you to another place?
Only time it takes me to another place is when the kids try to do it, and then I just have to crush them.
Dude, that is straight punk. Carry you in front of your kids.
And then I just
had
to, don't blame
you
me, blame
man.
Your mama. She's the one that thinking you can say that to me. You are not my wife.
You know, that takes me to another place. I mean, think about it. You the man. You carry the, you that, you, listen, wait till your father get home. You him. That's what I'm saying. You the guy that's, you the guy that's supposed to get home to lower the boom. And then you get carried.
Hey, Pastor said that, you know what? He told the kid, he said, listen, I'm doing this because your mother. I have to stay with her. That's the whole reason why you getting beat down, because I have to stay with her.
I have to stay with
her. You don't have a choice in the matter.
Yeah.
You got to carry some things, even though you know, you might lose some of your manhood.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's
man, my 7-year-old messed around and said, you know, you never clean up. I went in the garage, took the wheels off a bike, put the bolts in my trunk. And I'm like, good luck for the rest of the summer.
Wow. 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 Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Listening to your mama.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. She got, yeah, yeah. That's crazy. But, I mean, but, you know, you got the authority.
Yeah, you can't, no, chain of command. I was in the military.
Yeah.
You can't say nothing to me in front of the troops.
Yeah, you can't. You can't get out of pocket. Not in front of the troops. You're 100% correct. You know what I mean? Because, wow.
Because then when she come to me like, oh, they don't listen. Oh, well, what am I supposed to do then? You done discredited me.
Yeah. Yeah.
That don't happen in my house, though.
Yeah.
Don't get that one twisted.
I want
you got to shut that down, huh?
Yeah, you got to shut that down. You got to shut that down the first time.
On the ready line.
Yeah. You got to put everybody in timeout.
Yeah.
Everybody get in the corner. Time out. Because once it happened the first time, you let it go, it's a wrap. First time you let it go, it's a wrap. But Rodney.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
You ready?
I'm ready, man.
Are you ready?
I'm ready.
How do we show restraint with cheating?
How do you show restraint with cheating?
How do you show restraint?
That's a crazy cheating question, because if you're cheating, you ain't showing restraint.
Wow. Wow. My man. My man.
I don't know how you can show restraint while cheating.
Well, you can show restraint before you cheat.
Right. You don't cheat. And then you show restraint.
Yeah, exactly. You can make the decision to show restraint before you get that knee dirty.
Yeah, well, I just started working in D.C., and
In the summertime
at lunch.
Come on, man.
I'm going to tell you right now.
Mouthful.
Lord help me. That's all I got.
Stay in your office. Close your blinds.
I can't stay in my office. They all in the office. There's nowhere to hide. There's nowhere to hide. There's really nowhere to hide.
I'm in New Jersey, and it's a totally different atmosphere than down there, the way they dress at work down there than they do up here.
Right.
It's dangerous down there.
Yeah, it's dangerous. But, I mean, the host asked a good question. Restraint, showing restraint while cheating, that is a relevant question because you don't want to fall too deep. You know, that's just your side piece.
I don't understand how that works. How do you show restraint while cheating?
Because you're not going to – that's just your side piece. Just like I said, you're not going to leave your wife. So you exercise some restraint. Like, look, this is far as – just what we do is what we do, and that's the extent of what we do. It's not – you know, you're not meeting the kids. I ain't taking you to Disney World.
You got this old – okay, I see this 20-year-old mentality. Okay, you my lady, but my wife's my woman type stuff.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm not leaving home for you, period.
Oh, okay.
You got to show that kind of restraint.
That always ends in failure and expensive.
Yeah. Somebody left one too many text messages out in the open.
But that brothers do it. You know, I know brothers that do it. Good on, you know, that's their choice.
And nowadays somebody posted the wrong picture on their Facebook page.
Oh, they did that on purpose. They didn't do that. They did that on purpose.
And how do you, you know, speaking of Facebook, how do you exercise restraint when your old flame hits you up? You know, do you reach back out to him and say, you know, hey, or do you exercise? I exercise restraint. You know, any old flames, you know, they hit me up, they see me out there, and I direct mess them. I'm like, yo, we can't be friends.
Wow.
Period. I shut it down from the gate. You know, And the fact of the matter is that I don't want, you know, I exercise, I don't want any old feelings on her part, you know, because, you know, I'm a catch. You know, I don't know if y'all know or not. So, you know, I don't want any old feelings on her part to be
all right now.
You know, and be coming up. So I just, you know, I say, hey, got your friend request. We can't be friends. You know, I hope your family's doing well, whatever you're doing. You know, God bless you. Hey, you know, have a good day. And then
you cut them off like that?
Cut them off like that, right at the gate.
I don't even say nothing to them. I just ignore them.
I don't do that. I kick it. I'll be like, hey, how you doing? How your family? Got kids? What's up?
Nah.
You know what I mean? Because I know, you know what I mean? Ain't nothing going to happen. I mean, you know, but that's you know, because they're ex for a reason. But, Rodney, why you cut them off at the knees? I mean, you said old face. They might just want to see how you doing if you're still living. Yeah, hey, what's going on? You got any kids?
That's self-conscious on his side.
Yeah,
gotcha.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's his force field.
Yeah, because that's flashback he had when he seen it.
Yeah.
I don't want...
I agree with you, Rod. The simple fact. Ain't nothing we got to talk about. What can we talk about?
That's right.
They have nothing in common. Like you said, if you're fine, how's the family? Yes, but we can't be friends. I'm married, you know, have a good life or whatever. But let's after that, because what conversation can y'all talk about?
but reminisce on old times. Then when you think about old times, that open up old feelings. So won't even put yourself, that's the only thing you got in common, and you're not trying to start all over again because, you know, you're going, no, that's open up another, but you did right. I'd rather cut it off from the beginning.
And that's right.
Move it, keep it moving. Don't even entertain it because, see, that can cause, because your wife might just happen to, her perception is something different. Women think different. Then now you got to explain something that's pointless. Now, that's an unnecessary argument.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
And then you don't know why that motive for that girl is just to holler at you at this point in time. She ain't never hollered at you 15 years ago.
He just took 15 years to find you.
Let me tell you something. If you was that good, it won't take 15 years to find that dude.
Yeah.
Trust me. If you was that beast, that girl gonna always know where you are.
Yeah.
So you know, she might have a motive behind everything that she do.
Yeah.
I think I might have the opposite. You know, I had chicks that I used to try to get with, and they wouldn't holler at a player back then. You know, but now something different. You know.
Back then, blue woman. Now I'm hot. All on.
Now they on me. Yeah, say that, brother. All on me. You know, back then, no.
Now you hemmed up.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
that was old Kanye song, wasn't it?
Yeah. Well, I mean, you showed the ability. You showed the ability to commit. That's what they was looking for before.
Mm-hmm.
Can we break up?
Or the case with a lot of women, they're egotistical, so they just want to know if they're good enough to take you from your wife. It ain't really about you.
Nah.
It's just about them boosting age.
Yeah.
Yo, there it goes, man.
Yeah. I want to dig a little deeper into the showing restraint when cheating.
Yeah, that's coming.
And can we break it into sections for adultery, for cheating? Like saying, I know that if you are not getting something particular from your mate, let's just say, even for those that aren't married, will you go out to find that particular quality in another person? Being as maybe conversation, it might be validation, it might be sexual, it may be oral, whatever it is. Do we break it into to different segments to go find, kind of like piecemeal something to achieve what we want from someone else? You see what I'm saying? Like if you're getting sexually satisfied at home, your wife might be a nympho. Well, she may love it. You may not have an issue. But right after that, she goes right to sleep. And you might want to stay up and talk. Or you may want to talk to her about your day. She don't have time. Well, she got time to give you that thing. So you're lacking in conversation, in intimate conversation. Well, you may want to be intimate, but she goes straight for the thing. Do we look for that one quality in other people?
Not me. I'm cool.
No. And again, it's maybe not anybody on this phone, but I'm just saying men in general.
Yeah, they do. Okay. Yeah.
You know.
Especially if you got an ex, babe, you should do it.
Yeah.
You know, you got an ex that'll give you that pre-Mother's Day special, you know, yeah.
Pre-Mother's Day.
Rodney know what I'm talking about.
Exactly
what you're talking about.
Yeah. So, you know, just the restraint for that, I think, is huge for us as men. And we talked about the fact that we have to put up safeguards, like Rodney said. I will call that a safeguard. I'm going to delete him. Don't call me no more. Because I remember how you used to make my toes curl. And you can't make my toes curl anymore because I'm married. I mean, I'm pretty sure, you know, that's why you do it. You know, because I believe that we need help as men. Because we like that green grass. We always have. We like to get away with stuff that nobody knows about.
Well, I don't even think it's about getting away with stuff. I think sometimes we just think that we can know when to say when. You know, we believe in ourselves that much that we can get to that line and know when to say, all right, I got to go home.
That does not happen.
You know, but that's a dangerous game. You know, it's a dangerous game because, you know, it's almost like being an addict, man. You know, I got a homeboy who's trying to beat an addiction, and every time it's like, I'm going to just dabble in it, and I got it. I'm good. And bam, every time, he right back in it.
Wow.
I got a homeboy who's so bad with it. I mean, he's lying on me, and I don't even know it. Like, I'll see him with his old lady, with his wife or whatever, and she'll be like, well, how was the game? And I'd be like, oh, the game was pretty cool. And she'd be like, yeah, you know, John told me y'all watched the game. And I'd be like, oh, you know, damn, I didn't even know he said he was at my house. You know, it's like on the spot, I got to, like, play it off. And then if my wife come over, it's a wrap. Because, you know, my wife, she going to, you know, drop the truth. Like, oh, he wasn't over there.
Oh.
You know what I tell him? I said, man, you're playing a dangerous game. But I'm going to tell you right now, if my wife ever blows the whistle, that's on you. You know,
right.
don't say nothing to my wife. Because you stupid. Hey, after that, you on your own. I ain't got nothing to say at that point. Because I got my wife. She's straight. He ain't got to worry about that.
That's good words.
So you're going to rat him out?
No, I'm not going to rat him out, but I know.
It's either you or him, you're going to rat him out. If it's either you or him?
Oh, no. If it's either, if we had that situation and my wife come over and my wife drops a dime on the whole thing and be like, yo, he was never over there. And I'd be like, oh, well, that's it. Because then at that point, what can I do? Say my wife is a liar? No, can't do that. I'd just be like, well, baby, we need to go, but they got a lot to talk about.
And that's what the old said, you know, when it comes down to it, it's either your boy or her, you know, you're going with the wife, period.
Yeah, because that's your house. That's your household.
Exactly.
You got to go there every night. Every night.
And I'm on the porch. I ain't out there in the yard playing.
Right. Some of them get that tomorrow.
Yeah.
Is saying, honey, I got weak, a valid excuse for cheating, for not using restraint? That's crazy.
And I know them things. I see walking around D.C. I see how a brother can get weak. That's a damn valid excuse for me, if you should, you know.
I mean, I don't think it's necessarily about it being valid. If you're telling the truth, you're telling the truth.
Yeah, I could understand it. Let me reframe that. I could definitely understand.
I mean, if you're telling the truth, you're telling the truth. Yeah, I got weak. I'm not even gonna lie to you.
Yeah.
I mean, now it's not making it. So honesty is the best policy. That is correct, but it's not gonna make it any better.
No, yeah, she's not gonna find your honesty refreshing.
Not at all.
Really?
That's not going down.
Okay. I get that. So it may fly or it might not. Honey, I was weak. You know, I was just, we was out of town. I had a couple drinks. I was at this business meeting and she went to my room. I didn't invite her. She knocked on the door with a robe on, and I don't know what happened. I'm so sorry I got weak.
Them conferences.
Them conferences is like going to Jamaica.
Yeah, it is.
What happens in Jamaica, stay in Jamaica.
Something like that.
You know what I'm saying? That's like trying to blame it on the devil. The devil made me do that one.
You better have a real itinerary to show her. I'm going to be at this, this, and this. This is the agenda for the meeting.
Wow. Yeah, well, Rodney, you know, again, I don't know about, what's the girl's name of the job, Tracy?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we can go back to that question. You know, Tracy is attractive. Tracy may like you more than the normal. and we know this, but why are we going to lunch with Tracy?
Oh, that's a no-no. I don't do that.
No.
Why are we going to lunch with her? What'd you say?
Yeah, why are we going to lunch with Tracy? Why are we keeping company with Tracy? Because we do it.
We got to eat.
I'm old enough.
He said we got to eat.
Man, I'm old enough not to even go there, man, because I know lunch is never just lunch. I'm not even trying that. That's just me, though, because I know me. I don't put myself in that situation.
Yeah, me neither, brother.
I'm in your office.
Yeah, I'm going to lunch with you, brother. Me and you go to lunch.
They have
their
peanut butter and jelly sandwich.
Hello?
Yeah.
I get that. I understand. I just think that we need help as men.
Yeah, we do. We have to be strong. I mean, you know, when I was in Korea, you know, all of us married dudes got together. You know, we was there for a year and we made a vow. You know, we're going to do what we can to help each other. You know, stay faithful. And we did that. You want to know the funny thing? All the dudes that were faithful, either one dude did not get a divorce. The rest of us got a divorce. All the cats that cheated are still married.
They got it out there?
Wow.
How about that?
How about that?
That's crazy.
Y'all were exercising restraint.
Group restraint, trying to help each other out.
Now, what about your wives back home stateside? Would they exercise and restrain?
That's why they got divorced.
Well, I don't know. You know my situation. I was married to a psycho.
Right.
Yeah.
I wish all it was cheating. I had other things going on.
Right, yeah.
Wow.
It's just a statistic, though. You know, how is it the dudes that don't cheat, how is it they, you know, they better able to keep that marriage going while the cats that didn't, you know, they catch hell when they come back home after a year.
Well, is it a situation where the guys that did cheat maybe told their wives, you know what, do you while I'm away. I ain't going to stress it because, you know, blah, blah, blah. Therefore, they kind of had like this open ticket, both parties. Instead of it being something where, because I think that, you know, a situation like that, I mean, I don't know, but I'm just sharing my opinion. A situation like that, that would be hard on a spouse to be back.
Right.
Not knowing when somebody's going to come home or if they come home or whatever it may be.
Since
you know, and you're trying to seek out. And then, like you said, a couple of you guys formed this pact to say, all right, we're going to keep each other honest, blah, blah, blah. Did you get on the phone or in letters and all this stuff, constantly write and talk about that to your spouse and saying, hey, I'm doing this because I value this? And that might have put some pressure on somebody back home.
You know what? You're right. And you know what also I think it is? You know, we didn't do that. But what I also think it is, I also think that those that cheated, I think it was easier for them to cope with their wives when they got back home. You know, they use that cheating as a coping mechanism, if that makes any sense.
How so? Explain that.
Because they were more desensitized to their wives than those that didn't cheat. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-mm.
Okay. Dudes that, what I've seen in my experience, dudes that do cheat are more understanding, accommodating. They argue less.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Because they can just go somewhere and get it on the side. They cool.
Yeah.
But those that don't cheat, well, all they got is her, you know, it's like all their eggs in one basket. So it's a different type of stress. You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
So that's what I'm saying. It was easier for those guys that cheated to cope, you know?
Yeah, I hear you, and I do agree. But also, I also know that when people cheat, sometimes they bring that guilt trip home when they come in and they start accusing because they know they're dirty. So now
right.
They're accusing somebody else of being dirty. And you know, maybe the wife maybe didn't, but now he know he cheated or she cheated, whatever the case may be. So now, like I said, you come home and now you're accusing your spouse because you're guilty.
Mm.
I think that happens more times than not. I mean, everybody I know cheated went home and said, yo, my wife was cheating too, and maybe they didn't, but, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, you're the guilty party, and now, you know, everybody else is guilty, but it may be only you. I mean, think about that. You've been out there cheating, and you coming home feeling bad, or maybe you don't. Maybe you're
feeling
all right
good.
With it.
Feeling
that's
good.
What I'm saying. You can't
maybe
say that they're cool with it. You know, they would be crushed if they thought their wives were cheating on them, but I don't even think they would notice.
Wow. Yeah, that's crazy.
Yeah, but I mean the whole military thing. I mean, it's, you know, I know chicks that, you know, as soon as their husband leave out, you know, they ready to mingle. I know y'all know some chicks like that too. You know, like you said, he not coming home for a while.
A long time.
Yeah. So.
I got it going on at my job right now, man. It's bad.
Wow.
It's bad. These girls running wild, man.
Bad. No restraint.
No
they
restraint.
Have no restraint.
No restraint.
Hey, and it goes to a different level when you got a lot of women in the office, too.
Yeah, it's bad.
Yes, Lord.
Especially when you're a dude and you be like, where your husband at? Iraq?
You
go like that.
Well, I mean, you got to remember now, you know, sometimes that wedding ring is a magnet to them because they know you have to go home.
That's right.
You're
that's right.
The catch to them.
You know, they know you ain't going to say nothing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but when the spouse is abroad, you ain't got to go home. That's the thing.
You sure don't.
When they're in the military, you ain't got nobody to report to. And you know, ain't no surprise come back home. Ain't none of that. Because you know when they're coming back in advance.
Mm-hmm.
That's
yeah, that's very true.
Yeah. Do we show restraint with jealousy? And let me not use the word jealousy. Let me use
the
word.
No, that's the right word. That's the right word.
Is that the right
word? That's the right
word. Yeah. Well, I'm talking about checking up on your spouse. You may occasionally go check out the cell phone. Occasionally check out the Facebook page. Occasionally check out the email.
I do now. I used to be pretty bad at it.
You know, double checking stories, calling you. Where you at? You at Sally's house? Call Sally. You know, hey, Sally, how you doing? I ain't talked to you in a while, Sally. What's going on? Try to get information.
Mm.
Do we show restraint? I mean, because sometimes we want to know. They want to know. Sometimes we want to know. It don't make us less of a man. Sometimes we want to double check. Yeah, you said that's where you was? I just want to double check. That's all, you know?
I used to be super jealous. I had to get over that. God had to work with me on that. Because I was going to push her away. I was really bad with it.
Why were you jealous, though? I mean,
and that's the trip. That's the trick. Why was I jealous?
Now, was it because of somebody else? Because, you know, we sometimes keep feelings of past relationships, and we know what somebody had done to us in the past and how they did to us, so we always check.
Nah, truthfully, it was my mom planting the seed. It was my mom planting the seed, and I was letting her get, you know, scramble my programming.
Wow.
I wouldn't tell my wife that, but, yeah, it was my mom pushing my buttons.
So she didn't, your wife didn't do anything, as you know, to provoke that jealousy. Yeah, that was
No, it was just me playing Satan's game and letting my mom push me. And, you know, Satan's real crafty because he can make things appear. You know, if you buy into it, you start noticing, like, oh, wow, well, maybe.
Right, you start getting paranoid.
Yeah, you start checking the phone, you know, 1 in the morning, you know, a phone vibrate, you check it. Oh, it's JCPenney with a dress sale. You're like, oh, okay. Right.
Yeah, but Satan give you his best up front.
You know, I got pretty bad with it, but I got over that. It was rough, but I got over that.
Wow. Thanks for sharing that, man. I mean, seriously.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And I had no reason. I mean, you know, never cheated on me, never, you know, never did anything, you know, out of line or anything like that. I had no reason for it except just outside source, you know, my mom.
So your mom was pretty much like she's cheating on you, you better watch out for her. There's something about her I don't know. You need to watch out for her. That kind
yeah,
of
my mom. My mom don't like my wife, and still don't to this day.
Yeah.
And I let my mom, you know, get the best of me.
Wow.
So your mom didn't exercise restraint because I mean, it's y'all got kids. You know, some of y'all old heads got grandkids, but I mean. Is there a point where you stop telling your child, you know, about who they choose to be with and just kind of let them figure it out for themselves? I mean, the brother said, you know, to this day, his mom is still like, boy, you know, I don't like that girl, you know, whatever the case may be. But at some point, should we as parents exercise restraint, you know, when it comes to who our children pick, you know, to be with, you know, or should we constantly... you know, be on them, like, you need to, you know, get rid of them, they ain't no good, you know, she ain't gonna treat you right. I mean, how do y'all feel about that? Should we exercise it? Should it be a point where we're like, you know what, I'm gonna just take my hands off. I mean, I can't even, you know, you like him, you like her, you know.
You gotta let go of that nesthood. You gotta let them experience and come to you, you know, be able to come to you just for support. Once you stay in their business, you're affecting their marriage, regardless of how you feel or not. I mean, you're doing it because it was done to you.
Yeah.
But we got to get away from that. I mean, that's what affected my marriage for the first 8 years, is that where I was thinking I was going for support, I was literally making my mother angry at the person that I loved. Where the, you know, I had to go in and literally, it almost lost me my marriage.
Wow.
You got to nip that in the bud, and the only one who can nip it in the bud is you. Even if it's coming from her side. I mean, I had to stop it from her side. I had to go solo to myself and have, you and her mama had to have a one-on-one. You just have to nip that in the bud.
Let it go.
And then let it go. And then not tell your parents everything that y'all doing. Not have them in all your situations when you're having an argument. You know, that's what makes your marriage grow. But once you keep the outside in your marriage and allow them to have a better opinion, then that's where you have problems. That's where the restraint goes away, because now you're listening to somebody else outside of your marriage and then trying to figure it out on your own, or getting some professional help. Somebody who doesn't know your situation is there just to help the marriage and not just be on your side, because your parents are always going to be on your side.
Good words.
So you're saying you have to use and sometimes exercise restraint when dealing with family members.
That's right. You got to leave them out of your business.
Leave and cleave.
Yeah.
Yeah, but that's a tough one, though, Mr. Host. You know, the whole family dynamics piece is because, and I think we all do it, you know, it's them crazy family members. You're like, oh, you know. And is it worth, you know, making a comment, you know, about them? You know, that has some truth to it, but. Sometimes we just have to just say, you know what, just hold it. And it ain't even worth an argument. It ain't even worth, you know, it ain't worth getting into it.
Yeah. And that's the hardest thing because, you know, you still, as a man, you still want to protect your mama too.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You know, you're like, hold on, that's my mama. You know, anybody jump on your mama, it's on. Everybody know that.
Yeah.
But, then when it comes to your wife, you got to kind of hold restraint because, you know, your mother's your mother, but your wife is your wife.
That's a hard choice right there, isn't it?
The best thing that I've done is never get caught in between the two.
Don't get caught in between the two.
I have equally crushed both my mom. And sometimes I've crushed them both at the same time in the same room, you know. Yeah. Mom, I'm not your son, and wife, I'm not your child. So, both of y'all, I'm a grown man, and I make my decision. Sometimes I'm going to piss you off. Sometimes I'm going to piss you off. But that's just the way it is.
And once they get that, but see, they want you to do that. Needless to say, a woman is still a woman. They want the man to stand up and take control of the situation.
Yeah, oh yeah, absolutely.
Even if it's your mom or if it's your wife.
Oh yeah, they respect you more.
Yeah,
they respect you more. You got to stay when you're willing to stand for something. I mean, they'll respect you more. Anytime. You know, a dude's like a mama's boy, you know, as far as, you know, like the movie, act like a lady, think like a man, whatever, you know. That dude, he had an extreme case of that, you know.
Yeah.
And, you know, ain't no woman going to respect that. But at the same time, you don't have to be, you know, a jackass to your mom. At the same time, that's still your mom. But, you know, your marriage is your marriage. Your relationship is your relationship. And, you know, and I had to learn that. You know, and it's constant. It's constant with me. It's not, you know, I can never just say, ooh, all right, well, you know, my mom's finally accepted it. Cool, I can let my guard down. No, I have to, you know, my mom get out of line after a minor. You know, that's my wife.
Mm-hmm.
That's who I choose. And, if, you know, I'm sorry if you don't like it, but that's my wife. And you just can't say anything about her.
Yeah, you can't avoid that conversation. You have to deal with it. You have to deal with it when it's your mom and your wife. Now, if it's their mom, if your in-laws or whatever, then she needs to deal with it.
Yeah, exactly.
Or at least that's how it works in my house.
Yeah, and if she can't deal with it, you got to come back and clean it up.
That's it. You have to play cleanup.
Yeah, you give her an opportunity. You know, and then if she don't get it right, you're like, look now.
And I had to do that. I had to go in there and sit down with him. Say, listen, we need... Here's why
what would prevent her from getting it right with her family?
Well, being too light, you know, not coming, you know, not swinging the big fist. Because sometimes
they don't want to
upset
it's
her
that family.
Yeah, they don't
want to
upset nobody. Yeah, because I mean that's blood, you know, where it's like you need to get it straight, blood or not. They might come well, you know. He says that y'all shouldn't do, you know, and they're like, oh, okay, we'll try not to, and then they end up doing the same thing. And then it's like, did you tell them? Well, how did you tell them? Well, let me tell them. You know, let me send a message. You know what I mean? And it's difficult. It's not easy.
How many, and I'm hearing you, I hear you. But here's a question that I have, kind of counter question to that is, how many arguments do you end up getting in with their family because they won't say nothing?
Well, That right there is an issue. If you're arguing with her family, then already some things have failed. You and your wife first got to be one on this. If y'all are not one on this approach, then it's gonna fail every time. So if she's half stepping it with her family, and you come in there and you have to try to clean it up, or you have to, you know, really say what you really need her to say, and she's not doing it, then, you know, her family's not going to be hearing you. They just not.
Well, not only that, you can bring it closer to home. Eventually, don't you think that wears on her?
Oh, absolutely, because her family's going to be telling her she need to leave you. You know, that dude, yo, something wrong with him.
Yeah. Right.
They'll be trying to plant seeds in her mind, too.
Absolutely. Wow. So she's got to fix it on that end.
Yeah, but you gotta first get her to buy into the whole team concept.
Right.
That you are her teammate. It ain't, you know, y'all against them. Y'all are a team, and y'all objective is a happy marriage, not to crush her family. That's not the objective.
Yeah.
And once she buys into that, then it's easier to get her to, you know, take the stand for you. But you got to have that foundation first. She's got to understand clearly the objective.
Cannot right. being able to exercise restraint in that respect with one's family be a deal breaker?
Well, I say absolutely.
Wow. Yeah. That's difficult. It is. Because I deal with it now. My mom and my wife have probably sat at a table twice.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe twice.
Wow.
In how many years?
mean 6-7 years, 6 years.
Wow. They still can't let it go?
Nope.
6 years and they still holding on?
I mean, it's not, the relationship never got started.
Hmm. Yeah. Yo, for real, you need to sit both of them down and just tell them it is what it is. This stuff is crazy. 6 years?
You're right, but I'm with you there. But I had to pick a side. I had to pick my wife. Because when I was dating, going through my divorce with my ex, who was close with my mom, my mom said some things that she shouldn't have said. You know, I think I've said this before. I mean, to the point where it was just bad. The things that she was saying, and she never even sat down and talked to my wife. She never got a chance to talk to her. As a matter of fact, my parents live in New York. And we went to New York for the weekend, and my mom had said for me not to bring her to the house.
Mm.
So my children were at the house, and I had to go pick my children up. So when we came, and I didn't tell my wife that she had said that, because I didn't want to put in any more fuel on it. You know, I was just trying to deal with the best way that I could and just try to avoid it. But anyway, to make a long story short, when we went to the house to pick my kids up, she said to me, my mom had said, you don't follow directions that well. To the point, and she said it in front of my wife. Okay, so I was like, I'm not, you know, at that point, I didn't blow up. I said, come on, y'all, we got to go. Let's just roll. So we left. Okay. But everybody in the house knew what it meant. So when I got back home here, I called my father. And I said, you need to handle that because it's disrespect. I said, that's your house. You the man of the house. You need to fix this on your end because that's your wife. Disrespected my wife. I'm going to take care of mine, but you got to take care of yours. And to this day, my father has never fixed it. So to make a long story short, my wife will never, ever go back there. She will never, ever open her arms to my mom because what my mother said was wrong because she never even met the woman. I mean, she didn't really sit down and say anything. So she has since then tried to come around, but my wife's like, no, I'm not interested.
Well, let me ask you a question. When your mama first told you that your wife can't come to the house, what did you say to your mama?
I didn't pay no attention. I didn't pay no, yeah, whatever. Whatever. But that's your right. That's your house.
Right.
That's your house. That's your right. I don't live there anymore. I live somewhere else. So if that's what, you know what I'm saying, but for me to just come and pick my kids up, we didn't even go in. We were like at the door when she made that comment. And I was like, wow, really? This how you really feel? Why don't you just say how you really feel? You know what I mean? But at that point, it was, and then some other things were said, you know, that got back to us. And it's just bad. You know, and
brother,
it's not
like you need tough love with your mom.
Believe me.
Yeah.
I've had tough love. You can't get no tougher than, it can't get any tougher. My mother's never been in my house. Been living in this house 6 years. She's never been here.
Is the ex-girlfriend still talking to you, putting words mom's ear?
No, my ex-wife is she's probably just as upset about it as we are. She don't even understand where it came from. Me and the ex are cool. My wife and my ex are cool. That's the crazy part. Everybody get along. Everybody gets along. But now my mom can't come over for Thanksgiving or Christmas. When we go up to, and as a matter of fact, my aunt is the one who embraced my wife. So she took the place of my mom. Right? And now my aunt and my wife, my aunt treats her like it's her daughter. And you need that. You need that. See, my wife lost both of her parents at a very young age.
Yeah, I'm dealing with that too.
You see what I'm saying? So
yeah.
For her to come in and be taken in by a family, especially her husband's family, But then when you come in to deal with somebody that just has already been married, and then you come in and you got to deal with that drama, it's not a good look.
No, it's not.
You know what I'm saying?
And your wife
needs
that. Your family.
Yeah. So I made a decision. I said, I'm marrying this woman. I love this woman. And she comes first. Y'all got to get on board. If y'all can't get on board, too bad. And that's tough love, but it's got to be that way. I can't do anything. I can't tell my wife, well, you are going to get along with my mother because I said so. You know that dog don't hunt.
Yeah.
I got to respect her.
Yeah, that's
right. You know, I can now and then try to, you know, so every now and then I throw in a little, well, you know, I think my mom changed a little bit. I think she's trying to, you know, get close to you. My wife's like, I don't care about none of that. I'm not interested.
So, you know, and I think everyone probably agree with this, that we know that there's a line between letting things go and dealing with things.
Yeah.
So the question is, do we know where that line is?
I think that line is different for everybody.
Yeah. Okay, I get that. But, okay, so maybe I should say that first. So I get that. So do we know where that line is for our own situations?
I don't know if we do.
Yeah, that's getting
deep.
That's
a deep question.
Yeah, you always.
I don't know if we do. I think that's a case by case.
Yeah. It's in a case by case within the case by case, right?
Yeah, I'll go with that answer.
Because I think that's crucial to find out, right? And to know, you know, at what point should we let some things go within our house or in this case, I guess, between our spouse and our parents. And then at what point do we intervene and say, no, we're going to have to deal with this. Everybody's going to have to sit down. We're going to have this talk. We're going to have to deal with it. And I don't know whether it works or not, but at some point do we do that?
Yeah.
I think it would really go a long way. It sounds like you got some serious issues, but really a jump in the broom scenario. Your wife really needs to see you be her champion when dealing with your mom.
Yeah.
I mean, keeping your mom away from the house is not it. Yeah, I mean that's just, you know, nah. You're just gonna hit your mom in the head with it. Like, look, this is my woman. And you have to accept this. And it just makes no sense for you just to be away. Because, you know, time ain't promised to everybody. You know, we don't know when we're going to be called away. And, you know, you acting like this is crazy.
Yeah, and you got those great grandbabies.
Yeah, yeah.
Kind of example is setting for the kids.
Yeah.
I mean,
right.
Yo, you got to hit up with the real, a dose of some real, man.
So. I hate to say this, but When me and my mom was going through some things with her, I couldn't go to my dad and ask him to handle it.
Yeah.
It was up to me to go to my, you know, straight to my mom and say from mother, son, not from father, you know, husband, wife.
Yeah.
It was mother, son, like, all right, we're going to go out and eat, and we're going to hash this out, and this is where I stand, and, you know, And I want you to be in here. Here's your grandbabies, and your great grandbabies, and you're missing out on a whole lot, you know. And we don't want you to miss out on a whole lot. We don't want you to get to a point where you're feeling sorry and everybody's feeling sorry. Let's nip this in the bud now. We're both Christians. We can pray on this thing and move forward. And let's leave the past in the past.
Okay,
let's move forward.
Go ahead. Okay, so I hear that. So let me take my last point a step further. If you're dealing with it, this is going, you know, obviously staying in line with what T-Hawk had brought up. But if you're dealing with it, is there a line then where you stop dealing with it because it's not worth it?
Wow. There he goes. There he goes.
You see what time it is, don't you?
It's the adult hour,
y'all. I mean,
now, hour.
But yeah, it is a time where you have to deal with it. But if you haven't, hit the root cause.
Do we know
of
that?
It. You can't.
Well, do we know that line? Do we know where it's at?
That line is if you, after that meeting is over, you know, that greeting and that fellowship and that crying and I love you, Mom, and all that is over, and she doesn't change, she already knows where you stand.
Exactly. Exactly.
But see, she doesn't know where he stands because he never put it there. He never validated that statement. He just left it alone, like, or else she just never comes over. But now he's affected his own relationship with his mom. So how is it, you know, because you only get one thing I understand, and with now that my wife has lost her mother, is you only get one mom. And, you know, you and your mom going to go through some things, just like you and your wife going to go through some things. But here's the lady that brought you into this world. And when you was going through the drama, growing up and trying to become a man, she accepted everything that you did.
Okay.
Good or bad.
Okay.
You understand? So you still... As a grown man, have to give some small respect, even, you know, to her when it comes to now I'm a man, you don't want to listen. I don't have to listen to you anymore. That's still your mother.
Well, no, that's not the case at all. I mean, I still have a relationship. Don't get me wrong. I still go visit. I still call. You see what I'm saying? But it's not the whole piece. It's not the entire family. My daughters still go visit. You know what I mean? It's not. It's just the part between, you know, my wife and my mother.
Yeah, right. But Mr. Host, that's originally what I said. You know, just bringing this thing full circle is that, like P-Town just said, you got to handle it.
Yeah.
You know, you can't really leave it. I mean, you left it up to your father and
No. But hold on now. There is a chain of command. There is a man of the house. And the thing that I said to him was, look. This is your house. That's not my house no more. This is your house. What's going on in your house? There's confusion in my house.
Yeah, brother, I understand that.
That's your mama.
That's your wife,
mama.
Man.
Exactly.
You got your wife need to see you stand up for her.
Some people don't even make the choice. Some people choose their mother.
Yeah, exactly.
Mm-hmm. I chose my wife. So
yeah,
I put it up as far as she's concerned, you know what I mean? But I can't make her say, okay, we're going to go have dinner with my parents, so we're going to try to fix this thing. Because she already told me I'm not interested in that.
You got to fix it with mom first. That's
yeah.
Listen. Mom came down and said, meet me, because they're not from here. They came down, and it was a Monday. They came down actually because my daughter was going away to college, so we had a big dinner. I mean, a big brunch. So the next Monday, they said, hey, why don't you and your wife come and have lunch with us down at the waterfront? And I was like, okay, no problem. I presented it to my wife. She says, no, I'm not interested. She's not interested. So I had to go by myself.
You went.
But I still, well, of course, I had to go. My parents are out of town, here from out of town. I'm going to go eat. I'm going to go sit and talk to them and, you know, love on them and all that good stuff. But, you know, she ain't ready yet. And but this has been a while. So maybe now she might be ready. And yes, you're right. It might be time to revisit.
So you're saying since your mom invited her out, that your
invited
mom
us both over? Out. And my wife said, I'm not interested. She said, you go ahead and eat with them, and I'll catch up with you when you're done. Really that simple.
Fellas?
I think that. Here's what
you see. I mean, think about it. You really got to put your shoes on and live it and realize this is not a good situation to be in.
The whole point is, hold on, right now. I'm sorry, I got to get this one out. But the point is that all right, they invited and they're ready to mingle, but she hasn't seen you handle your business with mom.
That's right.
She still hasn't seen that validation. That when I go, we're not going to have no drama.
And the fact of the matter
is, you're saying,
she could have, instead of sending you back to say, yeah, y'all come eat lunch, if it could have been handled in such a way where your mom could have reached out to your wife directly, say, you know what, you know, I'm sorry for the past or whatever like that. And your wife probably would have received that better than sending you back as an emissary. Yeah, tell your wife, you know, she can come to lunch with us tomorrow. You know, it's kind of, whereas if y'all have resolved into a stance where your mom was able to pick up the phone, maybe call you and say, you know what, I need to apologize to your wife. Can you put her on the phone? Is she available? Can I speak with her? I just want to apologize. And then, you know, your wife would have been, I don't know how she could have been, you know, she still might have been disinterested, but at least, you know, to the fact of the matter is that you got it straight with your mom and your mom was able to try to, you know, smooth it out with your wife directly. You know, I think it's the indirect, you know, we got to get some more directness going on, you know, for it to be smooth over at this
okay.
point. You know?
Okay.
And I tell you my story.
And I left something out.
Okay.
And I did, and I'm glad that you just brought that up because I left something out.
Okay.
My wife's biggest issue right now with the whole shenanigan is the fact that no one has come to apologize to her.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
They just say, hey, you guys coming over? Hey, you guys want to go? Nothing ever happened.
Exactly.
And that's what we're saying, because, see, let me tell you what happened to mine, how mine got fixed. It took us going, we went to a wedding in Lenoir, North Carolina.
My wife's from Lenoir.
That's where my family's from, my dad's.
Oh, y'all related. Y'all probably related. Go ahead.
And so on the way back, my mom was following us back. And we stopped at the gas station in Hickory. And I went in the store. You know, I pumped my mom's gas. And then my wife went and got in the car with her. I said, oh, Lord, they get ready to have it out. And then I stopped. I pumped my gas. I went inside. And when I came back, they were standing outside hugging and crying. And that's where the beginning started, is when my mom apologized to her, and then my wife turned around and apologized to my mom.
Well, listen to what you just said. You went to get some gas. It's not like you arranged the meeting.
No, I didn't arrange the meeting, but I had already established the foundation.
How
you going to
take some credit
for that? I had a conversation with my mom. I had a conversation with my mom, and
see,
I had
okay.
a conversation with my wife about this, and we went to counseling over it. Me and my wife went to counseling over it, so she understood where I stood through the counselor.
Mm-hmm.
And now, you know, I told her I talked to my mom already in counseling, and my wife was still like, no, I don't care. But then when those two got together,
mm-hmm.
in an area out of the blue, at a gas station. You was at a gas station, it's on. I'm knuckling up, and we're going to get it done right there, you know. But it was a heartfelt, and I don't know if it was God felt or whatever one, but from that point on, they can talk to each other, they call each other. Like I told her, for my birthday, my mom and her set up where she came up and surprised me. They, you know, had all this stuff going on, and the relationship is there now. But it took that intervention of me to go out there and go. I drove 4 hours to Durham, talk to my mama face to face, talk to my sister face to face, and I talked to my wife. And it took them to sit there and all three of them cry and apologize and say, this is some nonsense. We grown folks. We shouldn't be acting like this. And if it wasn't because of me stepping up and doing that first step now, it didn't all happen right when I said it.
Right.
And that's the whole thing I'm trying to say is it didn't happen then, right when I said, all right, you're going to do this or you're not going to see your kids or anything. I didn't threaten. I didn't do any of that. I said, this has to stop. It was weeks later, but the point was is it happened. You laid that foundation. You laid the seed, and when the water grew, that flower was able to bloom.
Okay.
So here's a question. So what is mama looking for, and is that important?
Mama looking for what? From the wife?
No, from Tony or from any of us, but I'm going to speak on Tony's situation, Tony. Because I know we're hearing what the wife's saying. The wife is looking for an apology, or she's looking for Tony to take action, you know, to the mom. But the question is flipped and saying, what is mom looking for? Because maybe something mom got, a feel that mom had, or maybe something that was said, and I don't know because I don't know the whole situation, but did mom get a bad eye or something like that from the wife in the beginning, and she just didn't like that or whatever? But is mom looking for something, and if she is that important enough to deal with wife?
I think mom is looking for, and that's a two-part, and I'm going to try to answer them both.
Mm-hmm.
I think mom is looking for a back way in. A way into the back door.
Okay.
I think she wants the no harm, no foul kind of get in.
Okay.
But there's harm and there was a foul.
Mm-hmm.
There's a penalty on the play.
No.
There's a penalty on the play. You see what I'm saying? I think that she wants to negate that and just try to slide in like nothing's happened.
That's where you got to put your card on.
Yeah, exactly. And again, to answer part two of that question, I can't co-sign that. Mm-hmm. If that's what she wants, because that's what she's shown. She's shown that she wanted to not address what happened. She just wants everything to be hunky-dory, which can't happen. Because my wife, her will is too strong. You see what I'm saying? And I got to respect that. But again, and I'm glad you asked that second part, but I have to respect what my mother wants too.
Mm-hmm.
You see what I'm saying? But within reason.
Right. Right.
I can't help you get through the back door. I want you to come through the front door. Because if you get through the back door, there's always going to be animosity, unresolved.
Yep.
You know what I'm saying? I can help you get through the front door, but you gotta want to come through the front door. And through the front door is dealing with what happened.
Yep.
Right. See, I got alarms on my back door. I got some chrome waiting for anybody trying to come through the back door.
Yeah. But people
and
will
that
do that.
For anybody.
People will do that.
Yeah, sure.
People try to come through the back door. Now, let me ask a question to the group. Can your parents be wrong in this scenario?
Yeah.
Sure.
And you know most of them old and stuck in their ways and to the point where it's like, well, I wasn't wrong. I say what I want to say. I'm your mother. I ain't got five dollars.
Sometimes, but that's where you got to call out. You got to see it. One thing is hard for a man or a boy, let's just be honest, is that there's going to be a time we're going to have to call out a mom or say something strong to a mom.
Yeah.
And that's tough.
It is tough.
That's the toughest thing a man will ever have to do is he's going to have to stand up to his mom and say, look, mom, I'm putting my foot down on this one now.
Well, you know what? After my first divorce, I never let that stop me again. You know, that was one of the issues that I had. And I said never again. And, you know, I'm going to tell you right now, even though I know my mom doesn't approve of my current wife, my mom is coming the end of this month, and she's staying here for a week, and my wife has no problem with it. My mom is cordial. My mom, you know, buys my wife stuff for her birthday. My mom is very supportive. You know, she don't let any of that show. You know what I'm saying? They trying to work that out, you know, because my mom has just accepted the fact that it is what it is.
Mm-hmm.
And if she get out of line, if she say something out of line to my mom, then I got to have that talk with my mom. If my wife says something out of line to my mom, I got to have that talk with my wife.
Yeah.
They both trust me to do that.
Sure.
Yeah, and the bottom line.
And
like
you always got to say thank you, too. Don't forget that for both sides. You got to say thank you.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah, you're right about that. But, I mean, the fact of the matter is, like you said, your mom has come to the realization that she ain't going nowhere.
Right.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's just like, well.
Yeah.
And maybe, Mr. Host, your mom hasn't got to that realization.
I don't know what's taking us so long to get there.
You know, and we have to, you know, we talk about exercise and restraint. You know, we have to exercise patience, too.
Yeah.
Everybody don't get there, you know.
Right. It's not overnight.
Right.
No.
And though we we may seem, 6 years, 7 years, that's a long time. But it may take 10.
It may take 10. But, again, and if I take anything away from this conversation tonight, to my situation, I'm going to take the fact that maybe I won't let it go 10.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, because actually, I mean, really, I kind of control it. You know what I mean? I can control the situation. Right now, I'm giving my wife the utmost respect in what she's saying and how she feels. But at the end of the day, I still can arrange that meeting and lay the law down.
Yeah.
But you try to, like we started earlier, pick and choose those battles. You try to, you know, try to accommodate everybody. But the person that's really not being accommodated is me.
Mm.
Because now I got to go. I got my family in New York. But, you know, I got to split up people because of that
situation. Right. Right.
You know what I mean? You go here and you go here. Now I'm going to go see my mom and I'll be back. I got an aunt that lives in the same building. And that's where my wife goes. Then I'll be like, okay, let me go see my mom. And then I'll be back. That's not the way it should be. It should be, let's go see my parents and then we both come back. You see what I'm saying? So at some point, I'm going to have to put my foot down. And I do understand that.
Right.
You know, however it is. And again, I haven't figured out how to do it as of yet. But at least after talking to y'all, now I know that it's got to be a sense of urgency. Because again, just like Ike said, nobody's promised tomorrow. So.
Right. And I think you got to seek good counseling, wise counseling. I got a monkey wrench. I hope y'all don't hate me for this. But y'all kind of know where, you know, what time it is. But, in talking about restraint, do we exercise restraint with regard to our relationship with God? And what I mean by that is that we won't go all the way in. You know, we just, you know, just stick our toe in. But when it comes to our relationship, are we exercising, you know, a little hesitation, a little restraint with, you know, getting fully lined up, fully linked in with where God wants to take us? That's kind of a deep question, but I hope y'all understand.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I got a deep answer for you. How long you been out? How long you been away? Like, man, you know, how long you been away? The longer you've been away, the harder it is to come back in. We all want to be close.
Yeah.
But the longer you've been out, I mean, that answers your question. The longer you've been out, the harder it is for you to come back in. Because you don't lost your way. The breadcrumbs are gone. Remember that? Find your, you know, the guy said last week, sometimes we lose our way home. Somebody ate the breadcrumbs.
Mm-hmm.
The path is gone. Now you got to find another path. And it's hard to find another path when you're in this world of craziness.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Mm-hmm. No. I was just going to say, yeah, I think that's a good analogy. When you said the longer you're out, the harder it is to get back in, I think just being a man in general, my mind went straight to sports and basketball, football, what have you. You're in it. You're in the heat. You're sweating. You know, you're active. And then if you sit out too long, you start to get stiff, and, you know, it's harder for you to come back into the game.
Yeah.
And I think all of us have been there at some point or another. So I absolutely agree with what you just said wholeheartedly and just using sports as an analogy to prove that out because all of us understand that.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah, I mean, you know, it's not that you don't want – I think that we all strive to have a better relationship with the Lord. I think that we do.
Yeah.
I just think that at some point, though, you know, when you stay out so long or you get so far away, then there's a question of worthiness. I think that comes into play. There's a question of commitment. How much can you commit? And you know some people just commit Sundays. Some people commit Sunday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. Some people pray once a week. Some people pray every morning. And every night. So it just all depends on where you're at. To try to answer your question, Ronnie.
That's it?
I think that's good stuff that you said. I don't think I have anything to say.
You know, Rod ain't got nothing to say.
That was good stuff. You notice how I just got to use what you said to make it sound like I'm saying something else.
I noticed it, Rodney. I sure did.
Wow. Yeah, restraint, man. How about that?
I guess
we can all identify on some level of restraint in our marriage and our life and our relationship.
Absolutely.
You know, and I think for us the challenge is greater because of the way we're built as men. We got a lot on our plate. You know?
Right.
And the attacks come daily. You know, because we're at that position where people look at us to make decisions. We're like the president of our own household.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? And, you know, we can't drop the ball. We can't mess up. We can't have a fumble. We can't, you know, and if we do, we have to answer for it. You know, and sometimes you have to pick and choose and leave some issues unresolved. But at the end of the day, you know, just like Rodney said, if our relationship with God is strong enough, then we'll get through it.
And before you try anything new with your wife or your mom or anything, before you do anything, talk to God.
For sure.
Amen.
Right.
You got to pray on that. I mean, I left that out.
That's, yeah.
You got to pray on that, and you got to continue to pray. Ask for the wisdom and the wording.
For sure.
Yeah, because the moment you try to do it by yourself, look out.
That's right. You got to hit that one saying, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart acceptable in your sight when you talk to your mom, because some of it is going to be tough words.
Yeah, it is.
Yes.
It is. And you may
hurt somebody's feelings on both sides.
Right.
They got to see you as a man handling business. They got to see you taking a stand. And once they see you take a stand, then all they can do is say, thank you.
Yeah. Yeah. And you say that regardless of the outcome.
Regardless of the outcome.
Because all we can do is put our first foot forward, regardless of the outcome. And I honestly believe that at this point, if I express to my wife the importance of it to me, you know what I mean? She may let that guard down a bit. Just a bit. And say, okay, well, you know, if it's that. But I was so caught up in pleasing her. You know what I mean? Because I've seen people. I got a friend now that's divorced because he did not put his wife before his mother and sister. And his mother and sister made the wife furious with the way they treated her like an outsider. It's bad. You know? And then she looked at him like he failed her. And he can't get that back. He just can't get it back. And I was going through it with him, trying to coach him and trying to talk to him and try to say, look, you got to make a decision. And all that was happening in my life at the same time. So I said, okay, I can't make the same mistake he made. So now I got to really stand behind my wife and stand strong with her.
So the common thing with both of them, they both love you. And use that.
Sure.
You know, put down the sword. Look, my wife loves me and my mom loves me. And I love my wife and I love my mom.
Yeah. But it's crazy. You say put down the swords. If there were swords, that'd be easy. At least they'd be fighting. They'd be talking. At least they'd be in the same place where I could put my hands up and say, y'all break it up and hug. They stand states away.
Well, what I mean, the emotional swords, you know what
gotcha.
I'm saying?
Good words.
Gotcha. Wow. Well, it's 10:56, and tonight's topic was restraint, and that's it. I got more, but I'm thinking we can go with open mic. Any objections?
Yeah, leave it there, brother.
Let's leave it there. I'm not going. So nobody hang up. Hold on 1 second. We're gonna go in open mic.